Grace be with you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. We are going to study the theme, Making Friends for God. The joy of sharing in His mission. Lesson 6, Unlimited Possibilities. Our memory texts. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 11. Differing gifts united in service. When we have a look at the first disciples, the 12 apostles, so it seems they are not in harmony when you look at them carefully. For example, there you have Levi, Matthew, tax collector, working for the Roman oppressors. So he is a friend of the Roman army. On the other side, there's a Zealot. This is a group of terrorists. They always had a long knife inside their clothes. And whenever there was the chance, a Roman soldier somewhere alone at night, then this knife found the way to the heart of the Roman soldier so that he died. And such a person, murdering Roman soldiers, was within Jesus' group, his band of disciples. So we do not know if this person ever murdered someone, but he was within this group who acted like this in their thinking. This was correct. These are oppressors, therefore we are allowed to kill them. If nobody sees it, if we are not watched, the night is an ideal thing for that. And we ask ourselves, when we look at this group of disciples, why did Jesus choose such different people? They are so different in their character. Why so? Well, what's the reason for that? If you have very different persons, you can reach many different groups of people. The more difference, the broader the way to these groups. So Jesus was a person who wanted to reach all the people in the world. And therefore he chose a tax collector and the one who wanted to murder the Romans. He wanted different people for different activities, but united in service. And the Spirit now is the one who coordinates everything. When you look at the body, there are organs with very different functions. A heart, a kidney, a stomach, a lung, the skin, the eyes, the ears, whatever. Different functions. working harmoniously together. And this is the aim of a Christian church. Working harmoniously together with all the different capabilities someone has. This is what God aims for. God, the giver of all good gifts. In Acts chapter 10, we find an interesting story. Let's have a look at the map, at Caesarea, the headquarter of the Roman army in Palestine, there was a high officer of the army, very high, an important person for the army of the Romans. And this person had a close relationship to God, and he prayed day by day as a Roman soldier, officer of the army. And because of his prayers and his attitude towards God, his loving relationship to God, he was visited by an angel one day. Imagine, you're praying, and an angel appears, approaches on the scene. Whew. Has this ever happened in your life? So this is extraordinary. Extraordinary to the top. So this must be an extraordinary person. And he's called Cornelius. And this angel tells him, well, send some of your servants to Joppe. Today it's called Jaffa, near Tel Aviv. And there you will find Peter living in the house of Simon. Yeah, the servants went off. And when they were close to the house where Peter lived in, Peter was on top of the house, flat roof, praying. And when he prayed, he had a vision. A cloth came down from heaven, filled with unclean animals. Unclean means not used for food, as God had said. But then he heard a voice, come on, kill them, eat them. Oh no, I've never eaten anything like that before. It's written in the Bible, I should not eat it, God told me. Oh no. The vision came again, kill and eat. No. It came a third time, kill and eat. And Peter was surprised. What is the sense of this? And then he heard someone knocked at the door. And he heard voices. And then he heard the voice of God. I have sent these servants to you. Go with them. No hesitation is needed. Just go with them. And when Peter came down, he discovered Romans. Romans, heathen people, not Jews. And I'm invited to a non-Jewish heathen home to preach. Oh no! I've never entered into a non-Jewish house. It's unclean. It's forbidden. It's impossible. I'm not allowed to. I've never done it before and I will never do it in future. What has God said after the vision on top of the roof? go with them without hesitation. So Peter told the other inhabitants of the house what he is going to do. Everybody was surprised. They were all Jews. He wants to go to a heathen house, entering and preaching there? Oh no! But God had said, God had sent an angel. These servants had told the story of their Lord, the Roman officer, that an angel had appeared and given the command. Now, some of Joppe came with Peter on their way. Now they step up to Caesarea along the shore. And then they come to the house of Cornelius. So what has Cornelius done in the meantime? In Acts chapter 10, we read the following. We read it in verse 25 in chapter 10. And as we read from 24. And the morrow after, they entered into Caesarea. And Cornelius waited for them, and had called together his kinsmen and near friends. Imagine, Cornelius, this Roman officer, he told all his relatives and friends, I was visited by an angel. And the angel commanded, go and get Peter to preach here. And he will come. I've sent my servants. He's sure that Peter will come, although he's a Jew, and a Jew never, never, ever will enter a Roman house. But he was sure he will come because an angel told me he should come. So all the relatives, all the friends, they were all there. The house was full, and it was a big house, you can imagine, because he was a high officer. Verse 25, and as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. But Peter took him up, saying, stand up, I myself also am a man. And as he talked with him, he went in and found many that were come together. And what happened then? During the sermon, the Holy Spirit fell on the assembly, and they talked in tongues, in new languages. What? Work of the Spirit, moving on to Gentiles. What a surprise for the Jews. The purpose of spiritual gifts. In his epistle to the Ephesians, the Apostle Paul makes some interesting statements. We see the Christians in Ephesus, they were very special to Paul. It is the church where he stayed for the longest time ever. In Corinth for 1 year and a half, and in Ephesus for 3 years. And in the other villages, cities, a shorter period. But not because he wanted to leave so early. He had to, otherwise he would have been killed. So when Paul appeared on the scene, you could be sure that the city is divided in a jiffy, in two groups. One saying, oh, wonderful, go on, preach, preach. And the others, one more word and we kill you. This was the reaction. Paul preached as if he had a sword cutting into an assembly. Either they were for him, or either they were against him. And those who were for him, they were in favor for him. They would have died for him. And the others wanted him to die. And to Ephesus, to the people there, to the Ephesians, Paul writes the following in his epistle. Chapter 4, verse 11. And he, God, gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 different functions. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. Spiritual gifts. Spiritual functions. What for? What's the sense of this? What is the purpose of it? Next verse, 12. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Why are there apostles, evangelists, pastors, teachers, prophets? For the work of the ministry, educating the people for the work of the ministry. This is the purpose of spiritual gifts. Not to show, look at me, I'm an apostle. I'm honored by God. I'm more than you. No, that's not. They have a special function educating the followers for the work of ministry, that they are all ministers for God. And some have the work of pastors, teachers, prophets, apostles, evangelists, whatever. Educating the people, the followers of Jesus, for the work of the ministry. That's the purpose. So it's not for myself that I'm the superstar. It's for the Lord. And this is so joyful. When you see that through your help, someone is helped and can work in a ministry for Jesus. And I do not think of a paid ministry, of a volunteer ministry in the first hand for everybody. This is God's purpose with spiritual gifts. Being educated for the ministry of the work for God. Discovering your gifts. From time to time, I'm asked by church members, can you imagine? Can you discover my gifts, the gifts that I have got from God? And sometimes that's very easy to discover such gifts, and sometimes it's very difficult. Why, sir? It depends on your willingness to serve for the Lord. Are you willing to serve him? Then your gifts will be discovered. If you are unwilling to serve, just sitting there on your chair, consuming, watching, saying, well, act there on the podium, not doing anything at all, not moving one finger at all. How can I discover your gifts? is nothing there I can see, only sitting on a chair. An example. A small Austrian church, about 30 members, amidst the Alps. And there they discovered, well, people do not come to our meetings. We have to go outside. This was the idea. So in the area where no cars are allowed, where there's a marketplace, they asked for their allowance to place a table with books on it. They want to give them away. Gifts. A take-away table for books. Without paying. And then people passed by. It's the main center of this city. Many people passed by and they wanted to present the books to them as a free gift. And people, oh, as if it were poison. And then one of the group had an idea. And then they made little cards. And there it was written, you have the chance to get a book for free. When you step over to this table, to this desk, and over there, you will find books. And they had books for foreigners as well, in foreign languages. From Romanian language, Turkish language, and so on. And, so not German, which is the main language for Austria. Not only German books. And one of this group with such cards, where you are allowed to get a book for free as a gift offer, presented it to people passing by. Hi, look, here, you have the chance. People looked at it. Then they came over, had a look at the table, because they were allowed to choose which day, to choose a book they were interested in. And they looked around, there were several books, and then got one. Someone said, oh, I have only one of these cards, but would it be allowed to take a second one for my friend or for my wife or for my colleague and so on? So they were really interested. And the books, they went off the table in a jiffy. Someone had the idea for these little cards offering a free gift. And this person, in doing this service for the Lord, developed such an ability. When this person invited people taking a book for free, they stepped over. They could not resist. he had such a friendly way to do so. So how do you discover your gift? By using it. By being willing, doing something for the Lord, whatever it may be. And then you will see where you are gifted. That's the mystery. Be willing to work for the Lord. Whatever it is, choose something. And then you will discover. And He will develop your capabilities that you can do it better and better and better. Or you discover, oh no, that's not mine. But here, yeah, this way, this direction, that's it. Come on, start right now. Growing our gifts. In Matthew chapter 25, we find a parable by Jesus about the talents. And she talks about a rich man who called his servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. And when he came back, the one with the 5 had made another 5. The one with 2 had made another 2. And the one with 1 had made a hole in the ground, put it in there, so that no one will find it. And the first 2, they were praised. And the 3rd one, thrown out. The 2 were willing to work with their talents. And the 3rd one was unwilling to work with his talents. And therefore they were not multiplied. Your gifts grow if you are willing to work with your gifts. An example. I love music. Therefore, I married a music teacher so that I can hear music live every day. My wife, a musician. And then we had 2 daughters were born to us, and soon they developed gifts, talents for music. They had a musical talent, as I could see. I, because of the Bible and King David, wanted to learn the harp. So I became a harpist. So I learned this instrument. And I played for several years, practiced the instrument. And one day, my younger daughter was 10 at the time, she said, "Daddy, I would like to practice the harp as well. Could you buy for me a little harp?" Because she was little as well. Okay, there's a talent. We want to cultivate this talent. And after 3 months, imagine, I had practiced this instrument for years. And after 3 months, my daughter, at the age of 10, played much better than I had ever played before. She had gifts, musical gifts, from her mother, from her grandfather, and so on. And we could see, the more she practiced, the quicker the development, the growing of the gift, this musical talent. The same with our 1st daughter. Both had a musical talent. And when they practiced, they were so quick. So quick. Much quicker than I am, because I'm not so gifted in this. When we look at these paintings here from Maximilian Janscher, this Austrian artist, Seventh-day Adventist, one day he told me at the age of 14 or so in school, his teacher, who saw his skill in painting pieces of art, said to him, "Boy, you should do something with your talent. You're the best in class in this area. Come on." And now we see the product of this advice. There was a talent, and if you practice your talent, it will grow. Summary. When we look at this painting of Maximilian Janscher, this coconut tree. What a wonderful plant, isn't it? This one is grown on the Dominican island. And Maximilian Jantje, the artist, he had a close look at this coconut tree from down to the top, being there. And I remember him saying he did not only have a look at the coconut trees there on this island. He saw the inhabitants. He saw the young female inhabitants of this island. And he saw these beautiful female young inhabitants of the island. And so one day, he married one of these beautiful young females. And she became his wife. So he is a careful watcher. And could see, beautiful. And here the same, beautiful. Therefore he painted it. It's not only the tree, the plant, which is so beautiful. You can even taste the beauty of a coconut tree. If someone is able to climb on top and get such a coconut and is able to open it with a special knife, then you can either drink the milk or eat what has been dried inside. And it's delicious, isn't it? Made by God. White inside, outside dark brown, inside white. That's surprising. How can it be white? In nature. I always wonder when I see a swan being white in nature. So much dirt around. A white swan. Surprising. Now, what we see, what is the purpose of God's creation? Fruit. So that we can live. This fruit produces energy for our body. God wants to see fruit, and this is a simile, a parable. He wants you to be a coconut tree as a symbol, but not only producing green leaves or so. He wants to see fruit. Fruit. What is your fruit? If you start ministering for Jesus, and I mean being a volunteer minister for Jesus, when you start humbling yourself, working for Him, doing a service for the Lord, He will make your talents grow. You will discover your gifts, and He will multiply your gifts when you use them in the service for the Lord. This is the secret behind it. If you're willing to use your talents, the Lord will make it happen that you discover your gifts, and then they will grow, and you will be full of joy, and other people will be blessed. What a joyful life in the service for the Lord.